Obwohl gleichgeschlechtliche Partnerschaften mittlerweile auch in konservativen Kreisen weitestgehend akzeptiert zu sein scheinen und in Deutschland inzwischen die Möglichkeit besteht, mit den sogenannten eingetragenen Partnerschaften auch als schwules oder lesbisches Pärchen ein eheähnliches Verhältnis zu führen, allerdings dann mit den gleichen Pflichten und weniger Rechten, ist eine wirkliche Gleichberechtigung, man merkt es schon, gleichgeschlechtlicher Paare noch nicht erreicht. Spätestens das Thema Adoptionsrecht ist für viele Konservative ein rotes Tuch, denn eine Familie ist aus Sicht der CDU/CSU zum Beispiel nur als solche zu bezeichnen, wenn sie aus Mutter, Vater und Kind besteht. Aber warum eigentlich? Geht es hier wirklich um den Schutz der Kinder oder nur darum, sich politisch zu positionieren? Und wie geht es eigentlich den Kindern, die mit zwei Mamas oder zwei Papas leben und über die so viel spekuliert wird? Gaby Baby heißt der Film der Regisseurin Maya Newell, die übrigens mit zwei Muttern aufwuchs, und der Produzentin Charlotte Mars, ein Film, der die Kinder porträtiert und zu Wort kommen lässt, über die sonst, wie gesagt, nur spekuliert wird. Die Produzentin des Films ist jetzt bei mir im Studio. Ich begrüße Charlotte Mars. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Did you understand a bit of what I was saying?
Yeah.
Because you were smiling.
I did. It's nice to hear the intro in Deutsch. It's good.
Cool. Welcome to Flux FM once again. We have just described the film a little bit to our audiences. Gaby Baby is a film that Maya Newell directed and you produced it. Yeah. Maya was raised by two mothers, so there's maybe one reason for her to dive into that topic and dive into that field. Yeah. What were the other reasons for you guys to go for that film, to go for that documentary?
Yeah, well, we started making the film like 5 years ago. We had just finished university together. And about that time, Australia and a lot of other places in the world, I think Germany too, were in the middle of this huge debate about marriage equality. Mm-hmm. And there was this argument consistently that marriage is about family, and family is about kids. And
I love how you change your voice.
Yeah.
When you're presenting conservative views, you change your voice.
What does that say? Oh, dear. But the idea that, you know, kids need a mother and a father, and that without one, they would be somehow different, and that that difference would be bad, that they might be, that they might struggle. Mm-hmm. And in the course of that debate, nobody really sat down and spoke to these children. They just talked about them.
Yeah, and they were asking experts, right?
Yeah.
So-called experts. They were talking to families, maybe to grown-ups, more or less, but they forget about the kids.
They forget about the kids, as so often happens. So yeah. I think we were hearing that. And of course, it was personal for Maya, because she was sitting there going, you know, nobody ever asked me these things. Mm-hmm. And I was there, and I was thinking, you know, I was raised by a mother and a father, and there is no like logical reason why my family should be seen any differently under law. Mm-hmm. In fact, my parents got divorced when I was like very, very young. Mm-hmm. Her mothers have been together for 30 years. If you want to talk about conventional kind of family sticking together, kind of those concepts, her family really represented that, you know? So that sort of was a big entry point for us in terms of feeling like there was a voice missing, I suppose, from that debate.
Yeah. And then you decided to concentrate on the kids, to ask them about their views on the topic. And then you were talking to like 40 kids or something. And then you reduced the crew to four kids, actually, right?
Yeah. I mean, at the beginning of any documentary, I suppose you're going out and you're researching and you're meeting people. So we put this big call out to as many families as we could contact and said, will you have a chat to us?
Yeah.
And that point, we met like 40 families and, I mean, amazing kids from all over Australia.
Yeah.
And then we focused in on the four kids that you meet in the film, Gus, Ebony, Matt, and Graham.
Yeah.
They are all 11 years old, 11 and 12.
Yeah.
We filmed with them for about 3 years, and I, you know, what's nice is for filming over such a long period of time with them is the trust that develops and the intimacy, you know.
That's, you can really see that there's a lot of trust going on between the filmmakers and the kids, because they really open up. They talk about their thoughts and they talk about their wishes for the future.
Yeah, but it's also like this window into family, which is really, you know, very brave, not just for the kids, but for their parents.
True.
I think, you know, for a gay family to open their doors as these families did to us and to show us things that were really great, but also things that were hard. Mm-hmm. And there are moments, I think, when everyone watches this film and you feel a bit uncomfortable because family is uncomfortable.
That's
you know,
true.
Like so often. And it was really important to us that the film had both sides, you know, that it had the positive things, but it also had things that were challenging for the kids.
Yeah. And when I was watching the movie, I felt that the more challenging moments for the families were only happening when society was reacting to them. As a unique life form, like those three or four people, they didn't have problems with each other, and they weren't like scared because of things that were happening in their family. But the things that scared them was the reaction of society. How will my teacher in my new school react when I tell him that I have two dads and stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is a film of a very specific place and time in the world, and that context, that outside view is totally connected with the struggles that are going on with those kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you're right. A lot of it's about that external pressure of being different, and also at an age where they're just starting to, you know, 11 and 12 years old, you're not a kid anymore, but you're not an adult yet either.
Yeah.
And you start to see the outside world, and you start to see your parents as people.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that's striking for all of these kids is that realization that, you know, maybe the outside world doesn't like my family or doesn't like my parents or the way we live our lives. And that's really confronting and challenging for them.
But it's another advantage of those kids being in that special age, because It's interesting to watch Gus think about his puberty and think about how he's going to become a man pretty soon. And then his moms, they're not too keen on him going for the wrestling thing, you know. And I love Gus, actually.
I mean, Gus is hilarious.
Yeah.
And everybody just comes away from watching the film wanting to quote Gus. He's super intelligent for a 12-year-old kid, and he tends to win every argument in his house, as you find when you watch the film. But his story is so nice because I think it's a story that could be happening in any family, you know, because he has two mums, he is asking himself, okay, I don't have a grown-up man in my house, so who do I look to?
Mm-hmm.
Who are the role models in my life? And it's really cool that he's looking for a whole range of role models. He's finding his masculinity in a really fluid way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's obsessed with wrestling and these big, strong men that, of course, as you say, his mums hate that because it's like the kind of masculinity that they are not into. But he also, you know, he's also a boy who would love to play dress-ups and put on lipstick.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't really feel confined by masculinity, which is really cool.
Yeah, he's the future, actually.
I think so,
I mean, I hope so. You know, he's one of the kids who's not going to be defined by the idea of gender that has been projected on them. He's going to go for his own way.
Yeah, that's right. It's like,
especially Gus. I'm totally sure about this guy.
No, I mean, I think Gus, but I think most kids who grow up in gay families are going to be much more fluid in the way they see gender.
Mm-hmm.
They're also probably going to have a more open sense of sexuality when they get to that age, because they know that when they come home, it doesn't matter what they wear or who they date, they're going to be accepted.
Yeah.
And that can only be positive, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I had the feeling that a conservative could still be shocked by watching the movie because he realizes that those kids are in a good place and that they might be better off than with a hetero family in some cases, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. We like to joke that they're the future, they're the next evolution, that these kids are our leaders.
I don't think that this is a joke, actually. I really don't think it's a joke. It's the truth. Yeah. You won't be a successful member of society in like 50 years if you're still thinking those old school gender roles. I don't think so.
I hope that's true.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's hope that this is true. And let's listen to a song by Courtney Barnett. Wir hören hier Stückchen Avant Gardener. Und dann quatschen wir noch ein bisschen weiter über den Film Gay Baby, der am Samstag hier in Berlin gezeigt werden wird im Babylon Mitte. Courtney Barnett und ihr großartiges Stückchen Avant Gardener. Bei mir im Studio ist immer noch Charlotte Mars. Sie hat den Film Gay Baby mitproduziert, der von Maya Newell als Regisseurin betreut wurde. Im Film hat man 4 junge Kinder porträtiert, die in Australien mit gleichgeschlechtlichen Elternpärchen zusammenleben. Über die Homo-Ehe und auch über das Adoptionsrecht zum Beispiel für gleichgeschlechtliche Paare wird ja auch hierzulande diskutiert, vor allen Dingen in konservativen Kreisen. Allerdings fragt man nie die Kinder, wie es ihnen so geht. In eben einer solchen Situation, genau das haben Maya und Charlotte gemacht. Und wir haben schon ein bisschen darüber gesprochen, wie sich die 4 Kinder aus dem Film zum Thema verhalten. Gus, Ebony, Matt und Graham heißen die Kids, die porträtiert werden im Film Gaby Baby. Den kann man übrigens am Samstag sehen in Babylon Mitte um 20 Uhr. Da wird der Film hier in Berlin seine Premiere feiern. In Australien ist er jetzt schon ein paar Mal gezeigt worden, auch in schulischen Umfeldern. In Australien ist man auch schon für den ersten Filmpreis nominiert. When I introduced the whole topic a few minutes ago, I was talking about the conservative people in Germany who are like feared. They are actually scared of families that are not made out of a mother, father and one child, or maybe 2 childs, but everything else scares them, kind of. Now I'm asking myself, do you think that conservative people will see the movie and will probably change their minds? Because I think when they go and see the movie, they must be kind of touched by those cool kids. You know, like, you can't watch the movie without being touched and without thinking, yeah, how cool are these kids? I mean, they had to be heartless monsters if they wouldn't feel that. But will you reach those people with a movie? What do you think?
I mean, I think that's always the thing with a documentary. We are really excited. Next summer, we're actually going to be released in cinemas around Germany.
Cool.
So I really hope that that means that we can get some people who maybe haven't heard these stories before, mm-hmm, who don't know people, mm-hmm, who are in these families, because I think that is sort of ultimately where you see people's hearts and minds changing. You know, yeah, I think around the world, when as different countries have like accepted the gay family, yeah, unit.
Even and Ireland, most even Catholic Ireland, land you can
totally
imagine.
As each of these countries does it, I think it is something to do with the kids. That's what changes people's views, you know? People can seem to get angry with adults,
yeah,
and they can throw stones and whatever. But when it's a child, it sort of strips you of your armor. You can't look at those kids, as you say, and say that there's anything wrong with them, because, yeah, they're really, really cool.
Yeah.
And they are so all right. They're better than all right. They're great.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's hope for a conservative audience to realize that this film,
yeah,
is on.
I mean, when we released in Australia, we sort of created a bit of controversy, yeah, not intentionally, but
with religious people, right?
Well, with anyone who was sort of on the far right, yeah, actually, we were trying to do some previews in schools, and it ended up being in the newspaper, and the film was called Gay Propaganda. And
oh, Gay Propaganda in, yeah, schools! Yeah. Worst thing that can happen!
Oh my gosh, people were freaking out. So it then ended up that one of the regional governments, New South Wales government, they prevented any school from screening the film. They banned it and censored it, essentially, which of course created an even bigger, yeah, backlash, and everyone was up in arms. So this film ended up being, you know, the talk of the whole country,
cool,
for a week at least. You know, every day we were in the newspaper. And in that way, actually, we reached those conservative people. You know, we touched them, and they were forced to actually think about going to watch, yeah, the, I mean, film, which is kind of funny. Sometimes you have to ruffle people's feathers, yeah, to get them to engage with an issue.
Yeah, and get them out of the prejudice room, kind, yeah, of, you know? But because the definition of prejudice is that you judge someone without having met them, ever met them.
Yeah.
And that's something that definitely is something about your film that works, because, yeah, you can't have prejudices about those people anymore, about same-sex marriage or something, because you actually meet them in the movie.
Yeah.
And then you can try and try and judge them, but I mean, there's no reason for
I
that.
I mean, yeah, essentially you spend 3 years with these families, and you see what life is like. It is completely different to reading about a family, yeah, or hearing about it, even, you know, on the radio. When you're in a cinema, there is something special that goes, yeah, on there, and the openness of those kids.
Yeah, yeah. And then the intimacy that you've...
Exactly.
That's something that really is a strong thing for, yeah, for the movie, because you really feel close to those kids and to their parents too.
But I mean, you know, at the same time, this isn't really a political film. Mm-hmm. Like, the film itself, it's just really 4 really great stories about, yeah, these really interesting kids.
Yeah.
It's the kind of the background, the context that sits behind it, kind of what we all bring into the cinema when we watch the, yeah, film. That's what makes the that's what makes it a political film.
And
you know,
you might say that it's a scientific approach because you kind of like looked close at the subject that you wanted to talk about, but at the same time, it's super entertaining. You can just go into that movie and you laugh your ass off when Gus when Gus starts talking about wrestling and starts to tries to convince his mothers to like wrestling in some way. I love that. How important or inspiring was the fact that many people wanted to partly finance the movie via crowdfunding? Because from a producer's point of view, it must have been crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think, you know, it was our first film, so it's always a challenge to raise the money to make it. At a certain point, we realized this film was really important. Nobody had really done this before.
Yeah.
And we needed a proper budget. You know, your first film, sometimes you have to cut corners. Well, at a certain point, we couldn't.
Yeah.
So we did this crowdfunding campaign, and we didn't know like how many people would support it or anything. It was a lot of work. Everyone thinks crowdfunding is easy. It's so hard.
I've stopped thinking that because I've been talking to so many musicians who are like, I didn't make music for like 3 months. I only painted some fucking pictures that I told people that I would send them if they gave me some money.
I know. And you feel like you're constantly harassing your friends. Like, please, have you heard about my crowdfunding? Oh, it's pretty horrible. But no, it was wonderful because it meant that the film became real really early on. Once people heard we were doing it, they said, yeah, we believe that that's an important story too. We believe in the project. We believe in you guys telling it. And that was, I mean, we raised $100,000 in 6 weeks.
Yeah, by as many people as never before on that platform, right?
Yeah,
most of the times there were bigger amounts of money by less people to get budgets together. But for this movie, so many people gave a little bit of money.
That's right. It was the most anyone had made for a documentary.
Yeah.
And it was the most number of individual donors. Cool. So that means like it wasn't a couple of rich people going, here's a few thousand. It was literally families from from the suburbs who are giving $50 and saying, you know, we won't have that nice treat this week because we really want this film to be made. That was just like so incredible.
Yeah, it must have been inspiring because you already knew that many, many people will want to watch the movie when it's done, right?
I think so. I think it also gives you a little bit of fear because you suddenly realize it's big and
under pressure.
That's right. You know, and you want to do it right. So it also, it was twofold, but it was great.
Cool. So I want to thank you for visiting us.
Thank you.
I want to wish you the best of luck for your next movie. Maybe you want to do one more with Maya. I mean, you're well-trained, well-oiled machine right now, aren't you?
Yeah, totally. We have a little production company together called Mala House, Girl House. So hopefully more films to come.
Cool. Jetzt aber erstmal den Samstag vormerken. Um 20 Uhr wird da in Babylon Mitte der Film Gaby Baby zum ersten Mal gezeigt in Deutschland. Erst nächsten Sommer kann man den Film dann wiedersehen, wenn er nochmal in die Kinos kommt. Die erste große Aufführung findet aber jetzt am Samstag statt mit einer Q&A-Session, also mit einer Frage- und Antwort-Session, für die Charlotte zur Verfügung stehen wird. Wer da hingehen möchte, der kann mich jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Ich verlose Tickets für die wunderbare Dokumentation Gaby Baby, die am Samstag laufen wird im Babylon Mitte um 20 Uhr. Ein sehr, sehr aufklärerischer, aber auch sehr unterhaltsamer Film, den man sich unbedingt angucken muss. Gaby Baby im Babylon Mitte um 20 Uhr am 6.12. Tickets könnt ihr haben, wenn ihr uns jetzt erreicht, unter der 030 2000 9000. Und dann an dieser Stelle noch der Hinweis darauf, dass ich in nur einem Song die Wiederholung durchführen werde des Flux FM Adventskalenders, der ja vorhin wegen einer nicht funktionierenden Telefonanlage verschoben werden musste. Also dran geblieben, liebe potenzielle Gewinner und Gewinnerinnen da draußen. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
I'll see you soon. As soon as you finish the next movie. Or maybe when the film starts in summer, you come back and we'll talk a bit more. Thank you for coming.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.